And welcome to episode 35 of the Irish Photography Podcast. And this week we're talking about 6 inches can make all the difference.
I don't know who you are, but welcome to the Irish Photography Podcast. Sit back, relax, and listen to three guys talk about cameras, gear, settings, stories, and all things photography. Join Dermot, Darren, and John on Ireland's Best Photography Podcast. Let's go.
And welcome to this week's episode of the Irish Photography Podcast. I'm your host, Darren. I'm joined today by Dermot and John. Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Hi, good, Darren. Thanks very much. How are you?
I'm great, man. Great altogether. Really excited now because myself and Dermot head off tomorrow. We get on the big plane there and we go across the water. Isn't that right, no, Dermot?
Oh, yeah. Can't wait. I actually can't wait, man. So excited.
Yeah, I'm really excited for it now, actually. Pity you can't come, John, but you know what? I think it's going to be a fun event. We're really looking forward to going. So when we're going to be over there, when you hear this, you'd actually have heard our episode that we're going to record when we're over there. So Dermot is going to do some magic, I think. What are you going to do, Dermot, when we're over there?
I'm going to eat loads of food.
Well, at least that's going to be okay. You're not going to be buying lots of gear.
No, I maxed out my car this week because I just purchased a Rode pad mic, so it should be here next week, and a new SSD, an external SSD that I needed to replace my broken one.
Yeah, but so I still think you'll be kind of looking over there now, kind of looking at the products going, it will be mine. Oh yes, it will be mine.
No. And you know what, it's funny you say that because... Rewind now, right? Why do people say no offence right before they're about to offend you? Do you ever think about that?
Yes.
I think it's the most moronic thing in the world that someone says, no offence, no. And then they say something near their own.
Did I just say that?
No, but it's just, I'm just going back to what someone said to me during the week about me buying gear. And it kind of annoyed me. And I was there going, you're a moron. But they said that before they said it. And I was there going, yeah, you're a moron. But anyway, sorry, I can totally sidetrack. What's on today, Darren?
Your gas is getting famous, man.
Hey, so, Darren, before you tell us what's on today, are you guys meeting anybody over there apart from the photography shows? Are you meeting any of our listeners?
Yeah, we're meeting Adam. So Adam Wadger Catcher Russell. So he's a guy from Scotland and he also is a YouTuber. And he's coming down to meet us in the Northumberland coast on Saturday morning, actually, with another guy called John Haswell. So excellent. John Haswell is also another photographer based in the area. So hopefully, yeah, we'll have gotten some good local knowledge in regards to that. But we'll have done that before we get to the show. And it will be a full long day, I suppose, really there. But hopefully we'll be able to be still alive by the time it comes to get to the show and bring back, you know, everybody will have heard at this point anyway, you know. But yeah. And then
you boys are full of energy.
On the Sunday, it's going to be even busier because when we're at the show, we're probably meeting up, I'd say, with around, I don't know, 8 or 9 other photographers, are all from the area around England, I suppose. And yeah, so it'll be a busy few days. Looking forward to it.
Good stuff. I always thought it was Badger Catcher.
Why did you think it's Badger Catcher?
I don't know. It's just a Badger Catcher.
Adam Badger Catcher?
A Badger Catcher.
That's Northern Ireland. I know. You've done that in Northern Ireland again. Adam, like, I'm sorry, man. I know he's going to listen to us, like, but, like, you know, sorry. I apologise for Dermot there butchering the Scottish accent.
I squash your liquor with him.
So, yeah, let's get stuck into the first topic this evening, guys. And I picked a title because I said, you know, okay, it's a bit clickbait if I'm being honest with you, right? But it's something which is very important from a photography point of view in regards to composition. And it's something I've learned over the years. And before I learned this trick, I would come home, I'd put my computers or my photos up in the computer, and I'd think, ah, man, if only I had done this, or if I'd only moved here, or just the slightest bit from the camera. And it's once I figured that out, it really helped me to be able to get better compositional shots. Have any either of you guys done this before or thought about this before?
I'll jump in there, Darren. So I have, and yeah, you know, it's something that we've spoke about in the past about changing your, is it the perspective, the word, the correct word, and your for your compositions, yeah, and so on. Yeah. Where I kind of first felt I developed that was when I was shooting some macro. Okay. I was getting down low, changed my whole perspective on on my images by getting down in line with my subjects. Same when I was out in the field shooting bluebells, I found when I was getting down low, shoot them from high, it's grand, but when I got down low, it was a whole different perspective to me, and a whole different composition. So by moving those few inches, but it was maybe a few more than 6 inches, to be honest with you, I found, yes, definitely well worth it. But going down, if that makes sense, going down to the ground more so than anywhere else.
Going down.
Yeah,
I got a bit worried. I said going down.
Moving on there, yeah. So, Dermot, from your point of view, like, you know, moving with taking your image and recomposing, have you done that on a regular basis? And have you thought about the whole idea of that small extra amount just important?
Yes, I actually have. And the reason for it is because when I shoot weddings, I like to shoot with primes as much as I can. Mm-hmm. Simply because, look, a lot of people say that primes are better quality glass, but in recent years, zoom lenses are currently catching up with the quality of glass in primes. Now, with mm-hmm. a prime lens, you can get a wider aperture, so you have the benefit of using such a, like, the 85mm 1.4, the 35mm 1.4, the 20mm 1.4. I could go on and on and on. So you have to zoom.
You have them all.
Yeah, I do. You have to zoom with your feet. Okay? You can't.
Yes.
You can't zoom by twisting a barrel. If you twist a barrel on a prime lens, holy crap, your full photograph is out of focus. So yes, sorry. You
yes.
have to move with your feet. So if I'm photographing a model on a portrait session and I want to try fill the frame and use her eyes in a composition, so on the rule of thirds, I'm going to try and get her eye on that, on one of those intersecting points. I'm going to compose, lock my focus, recompose after I've locked my focus, but then I mightn't be happy with the composition. So then I'll move slightly forward 6 inches, maybe less, maybe more.
Yeah.
And I could move back as well. I don't have to move forward. Again, like you said, perspective then takes a whole different shine to it also. You can move left, you can move right. And when you're photographing a model in a portrait situation, moving 6 inches to left and 6 inches to the right is a massive, massive thing. And it can change the whole perplexity of the photo shoot because of the highlights and the shadows that you're playing with. And they will change dramatically within 6 inches. So yeah, you have a very, very good point and very good topic. Very interesting. The fact that by moving such a little amount can mean so much.
It's incredible when you think of it from, you know, how it can change the entire photo. You're mentioning about light, and if light is in a fixed point, that small distance can change a whole image, as you say. But then when you look from my point of view, from a landscape point of view, if I'm taking a photograph and there's something in the distance, by moving that way to the left, I can line that up within the frame as well itself to make it part of the actual image rather than it being slightly off to the left or slightly off to the right. And it can really, really change an image as well from the whole bringing you right through to that end point, because if your foreground is bringing you right up to through the image to the end point that you want the eye to go to, but it's in the wrong place, just by moving that small little bit, we'll keep exactly the same foreground, but we'll move that end point right into the end of the leading line that you're creating in the shot.
But I'll put,
you know
this,
what I mean, John?
I'll jump in there. But I'll put this to you. You can also ruin your shot by moving 6 inches to the left to thinking you're going to make it better. It's not always going to be rosy golden, and you can actually make it worse.
You can, but my point here is that, you know, I suppose I'll go to John actually first, just your thoughts on that, John.
Yeah, first of all, my thoughts are I should have answered third because you two boys just gave sensible answers and made my answer sound like I made an arse of it. So from shooting bluebells to going down 6 inches makes a big difference. Sounds very intellectual compared to your 2 inches. So
what
I want to
do...
I don't know. So what I would say is, just going back to your prime lens, Dermot, one tip that we should mention is for somebody who's starting out, particularly landscape photography, shooting with a prime lens is a great advantage to develop your composition skills. Because as you said, you're zooming with your feet, you're moving, you're forced to move, you're forced to look for that composition. So that was one big thing. For yourself, Darren, yes, absolutely. Out in the landscape, move 6 inches left, 6 inches right, frame your shot, 100%. Going back to when we done our podcast there on what we were talking about, product photography. We were talking about how by moving less than 6 inches, 2 or 3 inches, just to get the correct fall of light on the piece of product makes a big difference. So, great topic. I thought I wasn't going to be able to answer it at all. Baby gave it a bit of an arse answer, but still, yeah, very good. And I agree with both of you. Very clever, boys. Jeez, no wonder you're off to Birmingham and not me.
But you know what, right? Something I think even from a landscape point of view, and I'll just touch on that, obviously, because that's all I can really talk about. But how many people out there go into a scene that they've been to before or never been to before and go straight out, think where they should shoot, put the tripod down, put the camera up in the tripod, frame up their shot, bang, think, okay, I've got my shot, I'm away.
I used to do that and it was a problem. I shouldn't have done it. And I did it back in college. And it's more of being full of myself more than anything else. The fact that I used to think, mm-hmm. I only need one shot. Arrive on, camera out of the bag, like I said, tripod, boom, done. Yeah, next location, next situation. Whereas if I actually just spent a little bit more time in that situation,
yeah,
that I could have gotten a shot that would have been 10 times better than I got. But here's the argument to that. I've gotten more shots in because of that and have made me a better photographer by making more mistakes, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, of course, man, it makes mistakes. Sure, wasn't it a topic that we made recently that you learned from your failures?
True.
But I think one thing I would say on that, though, is an easy way and a best way that I've learned is, rather than just rocking into a scene, like I said, put your tripod away, hold the camera in your hand, walk around and look through and just take a couple of shots and you will get some images. You go, okay, that could be nice. Once you find your shot, then lock it in the tripod, take your photo, but then that's where my point comes in. So you can do many different things. You can turn your camera left to right. You can move your tripod left to right, forward, back, up or down. You can tilt it as well, so you can change the perspective of something in the distance if you're using a wide angle lens as an example. Do you know what I mean? And that's where you get the more, I suppose, the best part of using that whole rule, because it helps you to get so much more that you can from a shot, rather than getting home and going, I wish I just moved that small little bit extra, or I didn't get that shot that I really, really thought of because, ah, damn it, that leaf is off, or a tree is cutting the horizon, and it can ruin a shot, you know, just by that small, simple movement.
You're right.
And I mean, I think it's something that we should practice more, and it really does change your photography because it gets you, not only once you think you have the shot, okay, get the shot, but, you know, if you're waiting for sunset, you could be waiting around for an hour, you could be waiting around for a half an hour. You're just going, okay, I'm waiting for the light. Then that's when the time is to move it, that small bit, and see what type of compositional changes you can get. And if you've something that's in the foreground, and let's say it's grass or whatever, by dropping down, that can make that grass look bigger, which means that it can match what's in the background and it can create the whole image as well coming itself just by moving that small, tiny, tiny bit. So when you think you have a great shot, still move. To get me.
I 100% get that, and I was a divil and I still am, from going to a place, seeing a scene. But I am now, I start going around with my phone looking for the composition before I actually take out the camera. And I will still admit I still leave my camera to one spot. I don't know why. I'm very slow to move around. But just coming away from the landscape at the moment, Dermot, you have a dog at home and I've got a couple of dogs here. I've seen so many photographs of people taking pet photographs from high above, but when they drop down to the ground and get eye level, it makes the world of a difference from a pet photography. And Darren, you're the same. You have pets as well. So I'm sure that when you're shooting your pets at home, if you change your perspective, and it does make a big difference by from coming high down to low, you get a huge difference of a photograph. Very important.
Absolutely, particularly for pets. I mean, look, you see it from their level, mm-hmm. and what they're looking at. And you can see the actual emotion on a pet's face rather than the back of their head and their back. And that's not really going to be able to show the whole aspect of a dog or a pet or anything like that. Yeah. So yeah, absolutely. And I just thought it was an interesting topic, because if people do it, I think it will improve their photography no end, regardless of the type of photography that they do. But just my I suppose top tip, if you want to call it that, is once you think you've gotten your composition, move 6 inches left, right, forward, back, up, down, you know, and then that's going to give you a completely different shot. You may never even like them, but I guarantee you there'll come a time where you'll go, nice one, I have that shot.
I agree, I think that's a great tip, and it also makes you more creative.
Yeah, absolutely, true story. So yeah, guys, that's the first topic done. What you think? Was it as interesting as you thought anyway?
More interesting than I thought. I didn't know what to expect. You both gave very good answers there, guys, to be fair.
Some John.
All right, well, look, we'll be right back to the next part of the podcast after a word from our sponsors.
Today's episode is brought to you by Hainel Industries. Hainel Industries is one of the leading manufacturers of power products for camcorders and digital cameras. Having celebrated over 50 years in business, Hainel have an excellent reputation in research and development and a well-known history of quality products and excellent design.
And welcome back to the Irish Photography Podcast. And I believe, Dermot, you want to try and take over here for a minute? You've got an idea for something, have you?
Yeah. So, well, like we said a few weeks back, that we're going to introduce a few little games, kind of make things a bit more fun around here, and have a bit of crack and a bit of a laugh. These games are nothing serious; they're just to invoke a bit of character and, like I said, a bit of fun into the podcast. So it's going to be called a Surefire Rapid Round. Okay, Darren is trying to hijack it with a different name, but I'm standing tough on the name of the game. So I invented it, so it's my name.
So what's it called
tough
again?
Luck. A Surefire Rapid Round.
Mail film bag.
No, we go at your stupid film bag. So basically, guys, these are the rules of the game. Okay, we're going to have three questions. I'm going to ask the questions this week because I'm the questioner, and Darren will have 20 seconds to make his answer, and then after the 20 seconds I will go to John to make his answer. Okay, and at the end of the round I will decide who the winner is, and the way that I decide is very subjective. If I like the answers better, then you win. There's no scientific way how it's decided. That's how it goes. Are you all for it, guys?
Go on, rock and roll. Let's do it, okay. Rock and roll.
Are you ready? Okay, what so welcome to the Surefire Rapid Round. Okay, guys. So I'm coming to you first, John. If Canon's cameras gave you a free camera for a Canon or Sony, which one would it be and why? Go.
Canon, hands down Canon, because I've got too many L lenses I spent a fortune on over the last few years. If I was to change over body now, I'd have to change my lenses and I'd get divorced.
Brilliant. Darren?
I'd stay Canon. I'm waiting for the new one to come out. I'm really looking forward to what that's going to do. I was always going to go Sony, but I'm still waiting for the new one to come out. If I'm always going to be there looking and looking and looking, but yeah, I'm sticking Canon.
That okay, wasn't 20 brilliant. Seconds. That was over 20 seconds.
No, it was not. Okay, so Mark O'Brien, one of our fantastic listeners, has an infectious man crush on Maz Peter Everson. Okay, ooh. Darren, who would be your favourite photographer and why?
Genie Max, man, that's a tough one to answer. I'm glad you gave me a bit of heads up before. It's hard for me to say. I think Ben Horn, the guy from the US, because he shoots on large format film, and where he goes to is incredible. The photographs that he produces incredible, and the story he tells through his videos is incredible, and he just seems like a good all around nice guy.
Oh, 19 brilliant. Seconds. I was actually counting them there.
John, I put the same question to you. Go.
Simon Baxter, for the very good reason that he has a similar personal background to me. He photographs for the same reasons as me. I love his forestry photographs and he's very inspirational.
Brilliant. Okay, so for the last question, John, I'm coming to you first.
Christ.
ISO. Was it always called ISO? And if not, what was it called?
I don't know. Pass.
Darren?
ISO is sensitivity to light, so I imagine it's probably going to be film sensitivity or something equivalent, but I don't know if it was called anything other than ISO, other than the fact that it's a sensitivity to light.
You kind of are right, but ASA basically stands for American Standards Association, and it was just another acronym of ISO.
Oh, very good.
So today's winner is Darren Spoonley.
Oh, six. The inaugural winner. I take that crown. Yeah, so six. Am I in? I'm in. Hang on, how long do I hold this for? A month.
Until we play it the next time.
Alright, okay, so what do I get?
You get to ask the questions.
You get a hug. So you stay
on.
No,
I get to ask the questions.
You stay on.
I don't have to. I stay on. You get to ask the questions, John.
John asks the questions next time.
Excellent.
Oh, yeah, try and take me down. Okay, that's good, John. Nice one.
Woohoo. Well done.
I don't mind you letting me get in or breaking in on that one. That's okay, yeah. So that was fun, guys. Thanks very much for that. I really enjoyed it. And yeah, move on to the second topic, which is something I had a lot of fun with last weekend. And myself and Dermot were both going out taking some photos, and we decided that we kind of both had the same idea at the same time and sent each other the same challenge more or less at the same time. So what was the challenge that I sent you, Dermot? Because I got in there first. Go on, tell the truth.
All right, so just for our listeners, when they're listening to this podcast, our videos, right, they're going to be released by the time they hear this. And they'll probably know about this before they hear this also. So I woke up on, was it a Sunday, Darren? I think it was a Sunday, was it?
Yeah.
A Sunday. And Darren sent me a message saying, come on, we get up and do something. Let's go get some photographs, something. So he sent me a challenge. Go somewhere and get 3 different shots. Now, I didn't really hear the different part. I just heard 3 photographs.
So, true story.
That's all right. We went out and we had a challenge to go get 3 photographs. And you have to obviously take the photographs, and you have to vlog it as well. And whoever gets the best photographs is the best landscape photographer between the two of us. And I thought it was absolutely brilliant and so challenging. Like, you know, but Darren, like, John, would you ever think about doing something like this?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Yeah,
definitely. But right, I'd like to be the judge between the two of you, though.
Oh. We were thinking something else.
We were thinking something else.
But we'll get to that at the end, if that's okay.
Okay.
Yeah, all right.
So, yeah, my challenge was that, you know, we had got to go out into a shoot and get 3 completely different photographs. And I tell you one thing, the weather started off for me as you shouldn't be out photographing in this, particularly when there's nothing to photograph from where I went to. It was just clear skies. There was nothing whatsoever going on. And then I got the message from you, and you're telling me, what was the weather like up in the West Coast?
Oh, man, it was quite bad. It was actually borderline dangerous. Because I remember when I went to my second location for my photograph, I actually bailed. I didn't stay. Mm. I was there for about 7 to 8 minutes. And I was actually genuinely in fear of losing my life if I'd stayed there any longer, because not only would a freak wave maybe came in, but the wind was so strong that it would nearly push you over the edge. So I made a judgment call to say, look, going to value my life more than the whole photography crack and the challenge. Yes, I am very, very competitive, and I do want to beat you, Darren. You know, I want to beat you down, you know.
We'll know. Yeah. We'll know by the time this goes live.
We will. But come here, call. I had to make a judgment call. I just wasn't staying there, you know. I'd rather to find out. I wanted to find
absolutely
out.
Absolutely,
so where did you say you were, Darren?
Location. I went. We talked about, John, you brought up a topic there one time about your favorite place to go as a photographer, and I said out to Loophead Drive, and that's where I went. So I started out to Loophead Drive, and my first location was perfect. Perfect, because John, I brought you there before to the Samaritan's Hut.
Yes.
Which would be up the Dunlicky Walk, and there you're sheltered.
And we were there for Storm Deborah.
White Hood. Yeah. So I was literally went up there, set up my tripod, sat down. It was raining. It didn't matter. I was sheltered. I was nice and warm. 7200 set up in a tripod and just banging away, waiting for the right wave to hit the headland. And I did. I got a very, very, very good shot that I was very happy with. And you have the reverse waterfalls blowing back up into the hills then as well to make it even that extra bit special. And you have this lovely wave crashing over one of the headlands. And the good thing about the photograph is that there's a lot of depth to it, you know. So you have different layers of headlands one after the other, and they're falling away with a bit of haze bit by bit by bit. So I found it really, really interesting. Nice composition, kind of a letterbox crop. So that was my favorite photograph of the day, and I knew it was going to be my favorite photograph of the day when I took it, you know. And I think I sent that to you in a video message, Darren.
Yeah, you did. And, you know, as the day kind of started, I went to the spot, which wasn't ideal, like I said earlier, and I got a mediocre shot. And I sent you a message then, straight after that. And then you sent me the message back saying that you'd just gotten that shot. And then you went, oh, no, look at the light. And he's straight over getting the actual shot that you're going to use. So, yeah, I was mad that we kind of caught that on film as well. So, yeah. I think that shot really kind of spurred me on as well, which was good, because I think the whole idea of sharing it, what you were doing, I mean, I couldn't see your photo, but I could see that you were after getting something nice, so it kind of spurred me on a little bit further as well. And the weather was something that I was going, what am I going to do, man? You know, there's not a cloud in the sky, yet you're telling me that there's clouds everywhere. And it was a wind there for me too, but there wasn't a cloud in the sky for me. So I figured, you know what, I got to be quite my creative here. So I went off into the woodlands trying to get a different shot, because, you know, the challenge was to get three completely different shots. So I mean, I got one on the coast, and once I got into the woodland, then I was really inspired, I suppose, really by a number of other things that would have influenced me before in photography, because I figured I can't really take a photograph here, it's clear harsh light. So I decided to do something which I haven't done before, so I want to have a different type of shot. Again, was I looked at a branch that was overlooking a tree, or overlooking the water branch on a tree, and I first took the shot, and then I said, you know what, I'll just actually look at this, because there was moss all across the top of the branch as well itself. And it was really, really nice that then there was one little twig that was at just starting to grow. So it's just the whole aspect of spring, you know. So I wanted to call the photograph Hey Bud, because it's a bud that's coming right out of the branches on the top of the moss. And it's beautiful shot, I think, but it was something I hadn't done before. But I put on the 70-200, and I was only around about, I don't know, 6 feet away from it, but using the 70-200, I zoomed in and composed the shot there on that. And it's just, I shot it at f4, and it gave me a beautiful bokeh in the background, and then the light just came in and just came across the top of the moss, and it really, you know, jumped out of the image as well itself. So I kind of liked the second one. It was good that you had sent me that video, you getting the light as well itself at the time, you know. And what happened to you then for after your first shot?
Yeah, so after the first shot, I was ecstatic. I was delighted what I got. And then I talked about already about, you know, being worried where I was for the second shot. So I moved on. So I went down to go snorkeling with my friends. But I didn't even get into the water, to be fair. It was just too bad. I mean, we didn't want to be taken away, but that's besides the point. The photo challenge is the thing that I was really, really concentrating on. Anyway, so I was trying to map out where I'll go for my next shot. So I made a bit of a judgment call that, hey, I'm going to head out further out Loophead Road, and I got to see some amazing sights on the way out there. Like, because I said, the reverse waterfalls, they're all getting blown back up into the middle of the road, and you've seen some of the videos that I sent you, Darren. They were just really, really interesting.
Mad.
Yeah, and so I have some of the footage then as well for the vlog, so if you want to go check out my vlog before Darren's, because mine's going to be way cooler. So yeah, I'm moving on there fast. So, but like, I moved way out to the whole way towards Loophead Lighthouse, and before I got to Kilbaha, which is a lovely, lovely area where you get some great food, and there's a player for kids if you ever want to bring the family there. I noticed this fishing trawler, or wouldn't even be a fishing trawler, it would be one of these trawlers that would have, you know, the big cast iron containers. It looked like one of them, but it could have been a fishing trawler. It was huge, massive, and
must have been a container
ship.
There
was these lovely, dark, aggressive, violent clouds, and they were just menacing looking. And all of a sudden, these rays of light just broke through parts of the sky and were more or less guiding the boat where to go in the water. And it lined up oh so perfectly. It was so sweet. So whacked out the 70-200 non-sport lens. So yeah, I am getting the sport one. Wadger catcher, if you say anything, I'm going to knock you out.
Badger catcher.
So badger catcher, yeah. So the non-sport lens, still a grand lens, but it absolutely captured a great photograph. And I didn't even vlog any part of it. I just literally ran out because there was rain there and everything was going, bang, got the shot, and I just jumped back in. But after that, then I said, right, I'll head out towards the lighthouse. And I know this kind of little outland where you can go to see coastline up to your left, and you can see the lighthouse up in the far right hand corner of your photograph if you were to composition it that way, and you have Lover's Leap. So Dermot and Grania, the legend has it, when they're running from the commander here or whatever, they literally jumped from the mainland over onto this land to get away from them. So that's the whole legend. Check it up on Wikipedia or Google or whatever you want to do. It's a very interesting legend, but very, very interesting shots that you could get around there. But again, my health and safety came into this again, and I still managed to get the photograph, but wasn't happy the fact that I went out there. And just like at one stage, I was walking back to the van, and if I know the viewers can't see this, but I was literally 45 degree angle trying to walk ahead towards my van to get to it. The wind was so strong. I was literally, I can't explain it over the voice really. You'd have to see it. But again, very, very dangerous. And but look, I knew what I was doing. I'm not stupid. I've been out in this weather quite a lot. I've been on the landscape quite a lot. So I know what to do. You know, I bail on my second location. I didn't bail on the third one. But should I have been out there? I don't know. I still got my shot. But yeah, for the amateur landscape photographer, I wouldn't be encouraging him to go just in case something happened to him, because those winds were so strong. I don't know what they got up to, but they felt like they were going about 100 kilometers an hour into my face. So yeah, dodgy to say the least.
Sounds like a bit of fun though at the same time.
Yeah. I don't regret doing it. Like the challenge itself took a lot out of me physically and mentally. Like even if you'll see it at the outro of the video, the vlog, you can see it in my face. You can see it in my body that I just had enough of it. I couldn't do it anymore. Do all that wind. And do you want the funny thing about it? Every time I went out, I forgot to put on gloves. So my hands were just frozen solid from the wind and the battering of the rain and everything. And then the hailstones then was baiting off my face. And it got to the point where it was just, like I said, draining. And you can see it on the video at the end. It's just like, that's it, I'm done, I'm out of here, I'm sick of this. You know, but it's got this music playing in the background, you know, like a hero's kind of, I don't know, you just have to watch the video, it's funny, you know.
Can I ask a quick question there, Darren?
Absolutely.
It's a bit of the judgmental hat coming on here now, okay? Darren, what was the theme of the competition between the two of you?
Three completely different shots.
No, completely shot. So I would interpret that as, if I was going out, a shot from the sea, a shot at inland, and a shot of a building or something, completely different.
Yeah, that's why I went for my third shot. I went to the mountains. Okay. And the reason I went to the mountains is because there was snow forecast, snow showers. So it was actually mad because I was driving down. I said, you know what, I'm going to go to the Cumbria Mountains. So I drove up to the Cumbria Mountains. And just as I arrived to the area I'd wanted to park in, I could see the snow shower, well, hailstorm at the start, but then the snow shower right behind it. I could see it coming over the top of the hill as I was driving up the road. And just as I pulled into the parking area, I caught the full brunt of this
hail.
Snowstorm. The snowstorm comes right across the front of the car. So I jumped out of the car. There was a guy parked in front of me. He was looking, I think, as if I had four heads. Because I drive up, it's starting to absolutely team it down. And I jump out of the car to go to the boot of the car to take out my tripod and take out my camera. And I set up my vlogging camera inside the car and put it on video. And I just let it record as this thing was going over, and then I'd play it back later as a time lapse, and it came out okay, except for one thing, is that in my haste, because I was rushing, I put it on automatic focus, so it was hunting as the snow was coming over. Yeah. So when you play that back, then you see that a bit more. But I said, you know what, yeah, it's still interesting, it's still good, it's not perfect, but it's still good. But got some incredible snow conditions up in the mountains. So yeah, John, you know, I tried to find three completely different shots, you know, so we'll know now who has won this contest by the time it comes to this. So, you know, if I haven't won, I think I call a steward's inquiry, because Dermot's are all by the sea.
No. Do you know what? You are right, though. Look, if you win, fair play. I have no problem in admitting defeat. But if I win, I don't care. I'm going to be happy. But do you know what? it's not about that. It doesn't matter whether you win or lose. I think it was all about the journey of doing the challenge is what I enjoyed and what I endured at the same time.
No, Dermot, I know you too well.
Absolutely loved it. No, genuinely, I absolutely loved the challenge. And I think it's something that we three should try do again. And
we're supposed to
Top Gear challenge. So, John, we're putting you on the spot, kid. When are we doing the Top Gear challenge, man?
Something wrong with my audio there. Can you hear me, boys?
Oh my God, don't you dare wheezing yourself out of it. Do you know what? If you don't want to do it, don't worry, we'll get David Woodland to do it.
Oh, of course I'll do a challenge. I'm always up for a challenge.
Brilliant, brilliant.
Okay, when are we doing it?
We'll do that after the 13th of April. I've got my Irish Cup final. And after that weekend, I should have a weekend free. I have not got a weekend free up until then.
Okay, I'll do it for Manzarate, so...
Let's say the beginning of May. Let's say the end of April, early May.
Okay, I'm away in Spain until the 29th of April.
Okay, May, first weekend in May.
Okay, I'll have to make sure I'm not doing any weddings, but yeah.
Okay.
We'll write that down.
We'll write that down and we can confirm it.
Okay, so our listeners, write that down. And if it's not done, we don't see it up in the Facebook page. You can just saw a barrage of abuse at all three of us because we should get it done. Because I really, really enjoyed doing this challenge. I think it was something that really forced me to think differently. And I would encourage our listeners as well to do something similar. And it actually makes it fun because when you think, if you're going out taking some photos and you're on your own, you actually aren't on your own. You've got a buddy of yours on the other end of the phone and you're sharing both of yours, I suppose, challenge aspect of it, of where you're going, what you're seeing, and one is spurring the other one on or whatever it may have been. And that's what I found in regards to it on the day. I really, really enjoyed it. I loved the banter that we had, Dermot, back and forth. And I think, you know, when I tried to put my video together, I tried to keep that aspect of it going and tried to keep the whole energy and the pace of what I got that day onto the video, and I really, really enjoyed it. But even, like I say, without the video aside, having to go out and to get the three shots like that, I think is a really, really good thing to do, you know? Would you recommend it, Dermot?
Yeah, like I said, I loved the challenge. Do you know, even if there was no competition to be had, I'd still, like I said, I enjoyed the journey of it. And what I had to overcome to get some of the photographs, they were very, very challenging, and it's something that I would absolutely love to do it again. But there's a caveat: when we do the Top Gear challenge, we will need some help, guys. We can't just do it on our own. So if any of the listeners would like to give a helping hand, it would be great. And as in doing a bit of video work, so I'll supply the cameras, who's going to ever follow me around, if you're willing
to Lanzarote. they'd be queuing up, man. You're just trying to bribe people here to vote for your video, like, is
guys,
it?
Can I just jump in there?
Favour and come up to Lanzarote, there at me.
For the listeners who are listening, they're hearing us talk about Top Gear Challenge and they may not have heard us talk about that before. They probably wonder what do they mean? What exactly is Top Gear Challenge?
Our listeners came up with the idea. It was feedback that came back from the survey that we had asked. And one of the ideas was to have a Top Gear challenge where the three of us would go off out separately in completely different locations and have a sequence of challenges that we need to do. The challenges would need to be given to us. We wouldn't need to know them in advance. So obviously we need somebody to coordinate in regards to it as well, but also the people then that help us are the ones that would have to give us this challenge, so we'd have to know what it was, so there was no prep in relation to it. We had thought about doing something and doing it on film, and we figured because it had come from that aspect, it would be a good one to do. And then ultimately you could also do it without going to film, just by using your standard camera, block off the LCD, stick your ISO on a fixed amount, off you go.
Yeah, it sounds like a bit of fun. But I can't get the grin off my face here when I hear Dermot talking about the love of going out. When you just said there a few weeks ago, Baz, you won't even let your kids beat you in basketball.
I know.
You know, you're so competitive, man. It's unreal.
I know I am. Go on anyway. That's me finished.
Oh yeah? So, okay. So We'll have to get some details there on that. We'll put it out on the Facebook group. If anybody'd like to help us in regards to getting this done, remember, if it's not done by the first weekend in May, then we can get a field of abuse in relation to it. So we got to do it, and there's no better way than to do it than actually set a date in stone. So yeah, nothing focuses the mind like a deadline. Good guys. Stuff. All right, so yeah, that's the second topic. We'll be back, right back after a word from our sponsors with the news.
Today's episode is brought to you by Hainel Industries. Hainel Industries is one of the leading manufacturers of power products for camcorders and digital cameras. Having celebrated over 50 years in business, Hainel have an excellent reputation in research and development and a well-known history of quality products and excellent design.
Profoto accuses Godox of stealing its A1 design for the V1. Godox is getting ready to launch the V1. It's an affordable rival to the $995 Profoto A1 roundhead flash, but it may be soon hit a major roadblock. Profoto is accusing Godox of patent infringement, saying the Chinese lighting company copied its A1 designs for the V1. The Swedish photo publication Fotosiden reports that the Swedish Profoto is threatening to sue Godox for patent infringement in order to stop the V1 from hitting the market. In outward appearance, features and specs, the Godox V1 is strikingly similar to the Profoto A1. Both flashes feature a round head, magnet and mount for attaching modifiers, a Fresnel lens, LED modeling lights and more. Profoto CEO Anders Hedebark tells Fotosiden that his company has never seen such a blatant copy before and that it feels like Profoto has an obligation to act. It took Profoto 4 years of product development, which 10% of sales revenue is funneled into, to create the A1. The Profoto has filed for 7 different patents related to the flash. Profoto says various businesses, i.e. importers and retailers, risk getting caught up in this dispute legally if they decide to market the Godox V1 if Godox continues with launching the flash. Profoto takes its intellectual property rights seriously and will initiate legal action such as flash manufacturers and or distributors that take part in any infringing activities as soon as the Profoto patents are issued. Profoto writes in a draft of a press release obtained by Fotosiden, and these threats do not seem to carry weight. It was just last year that Carl Zeiss accused South Korean lens maker Samyang of copying its designs, and we'll get to Samyang in just a minute now also. And the German company succeeded in getting those lens pulled by distributors and retailers. Fotosiden reports that Profoto is now establishing an office in China that will be tasked with monitoring the Chinese flash and photo industry. Samyang introduces 2 RF mount lenses for Canon full-frame mirrorless, 14 f/2.8 and 85 1.4. Today, Samyang has announced the first 2 lenses coming for the RF mount. Acting fast to Canon's new RF mount for their line of full-frame mirrorless cameras, this move proves competitiveness of Samyang as a leading optical manufacturer, said the company in their announcement. These 2 prime lenses, 14 and 85mm, are incredibly popular choices for photographers and early adopters of the Canon EOS R and EOS RP. Should have some excitement for these new options coming their way this spring. So in a nutshell, these lenses are the first of their kind to be copied, and a lot of people are going to be questioning how the hell did they come out with these lenses with the bayonets for the RF mounts so fast. Is there other makers like Sigma and whoever going to follow quite soon? It's up for discussion, really.
Oh, thanks for those interesting topics this evening in the news, Dermot. Now we're going to go over to our usual slot, which is a VSP. And this week, I chose something which is quite different to something we've spoken about before or we've used before. And it's a clamp for a GoPro. And it's something that I've used on a number of occasions now already where you can, it has a very, very strong clip and you have your GoPro attached into it. And then you can attach it onto your bag. You can attach it onto any of the straps that you have. You can attach it onto anything really that has a small branch or whatever it may have been. So you get your GoPro anywhere. I attached it into my vent on my car when I was recording in a recent video as well. It just allows me to put the GoPro anywhere. And also, because it's a good design, it allows you to, you know, do something filming point of view, is put it into your mouth so that you can actually film with your hands and what your hands are doing, so you can hold it inside in your mouth just very, very simply. It was a simple thing that I bought. I got it online. It was $7.99, so not very expensive, but it has changed how I use my GoPro immensely. I normally have the Joby GorillaPod, but I kind of favor using this now because I don't really place the GorillaPod down. I use it handheld, and now this allows me to be able to adjust the end of the clip as well and hold it handheld and be able to vlog with it as well.
So you hold that, so that basically the whole design is basically like a crocodile's mouth. It bites down, it clamps down.
Exactly.
Just for listeners, so they have a better understanding, because the only reason I know was because I just, you showed me there. I wouldn't have had a clue if you didn't show it to me. So I think
I didn't paint any good picture in it. Oh my god! Okay, yeah,
no,
go on.
No, you did not. However, it is a very good product, I would reckon. So, but why would you use that over a Joby GorillaPod? Like, would you just hold this crocodile's teeth and just vlog with it by holding that?
That's one way to use it, but what I've done already with it on my bag, if I put the chest strap across, I can connect it onto the chest strap and then I can press record, so it'll record me walking.
Okay.
Or I can put it onto one of the straps in the top of the bag, so it can record over my shoulder, so my head and where I'm walking. I can attach it onto numerous different things wherever I'm taking photos, and it's really, really handy from that point of view. Holding it, yeah, it's just an extra thing that you can do with it. But it's not that it's fixed in one little area, but it's because it's so cheap, it's very, very versatile. And the beauty of it as well is that when you get the GoPro on the clip, the one that I got, I'd have to probably show you rather than explaining, because I'm obviously not good at explaining things this evening, but you know, you got your clip where it clips on the end of it here.
Yeah.
So if I show you here where it's opening, like that.
Yeah.
But then you can turn this part around. So if you've got it on your jacket like this, you can have it that it's pointing up, or you can very quickly point it down to get some walking footage.
I like that.
And it stays in exactly the same place. Or if you want to, because the new GoPros, you can do it in portrait, so you can have the camera as well in portrait mode like this. So it's actually quite good from a usability and a versatility. And like for $7.99, I mean, it was a steal, you know.
Brilliant. I actually really like it. I think it'd be very useful for someone who would have a GoPro. And for myself, I have the DJI Osmo, and you can get these adapters that you can use the DJI Osmo Pocket with GoPro mount. So, I might pick one of them up. Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to doing something with it, because I had an idea for a long period of time to do some video footage on a dog. We were talking a second ago, John, about taking photos with dogs, but you know, I work with pets, I suppose, really. But to have it on a dog and to record from the dog in the dog's eye view, and that would be perfect, but to go onto a harness, because it would be very, very secure. And that's what I found, it was no movement in relation to it at all. So yeah, I think it's a really good product for the price. And you know, okay, I know I'm probably just talking all about it really, but I'm going to give it 9 out of 10. I don't think there's anything that's wrong with it.
Yeah, I give it an 8.
I give it whatever if I see it. Sounds good to me, Darren. I say, I actually, going back to what you're saying, okay, using it in the car, it sounds very versatile.
Well, I just connected it into the vent, the air vent, and it stayed there, and it was perfect, you know. And there was no movement in it then as well. And it actually was quite smooth, because the GoPro Hero 7 has built-in stabilization.
I remember when Thomas Eaton, in his earlier videos, he used to strap or clamp it onto the end of his tripod, and he put his tripod over his shoulder and kind of give him a cool look.
That's actually a good idea. Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, I might give that a go actually when we're away.
Yeah, pretty good.
See what it's like. So yeah, that's my product for this evening's episode. That's me done, I think, for this evening as well. So right now we're just getting ready to head off. And yeah, I had a good episode this evening. How'd you enjoy it,
good,
John?
Good stuff, Darren. Yeah, it was good. Very, very enjoyable. And obviously when the viewers listen to this podcast, you'll have been back from Birmingham. So...
yes.
Even though, wishing you guys the best of luck, as I said last week, it's going to be a great little break, getaway, and enjoy it. It'll be super. What time are you flying out of tomorrow?
7:30.
From Ahaclea. It'll
be fantastic. It'll be a great trip. Looking forward to it. Do a few Instagram stories if you think of it and get a chance.
We will, yeah. No problem. Right. Perfect. And Dermot, I'm going to see you tomorrow, buds.
Yeah. You're picking me up at my HQ. Irish Photography HQ.
Yeah, true story, yeah. So, guys, listen, thanks a million, and as always, really enjoyed the content this evening, and from me, until the next time, Slán go fóill.
See you, Dad. See you, boys.
Hey, yo.
If you've enjoyed the Irish Photography Podcast, we'd love for you to subscribe and rate on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. Until next time, keep shooting.